delivery, elevates the cross, Bain is there! Hawksby's got a hat-trick. It's a first-half hat-trick for the young woman from Wollongong.
Sarah's looking to hit, Grant's at the back post, and did he find it beautifully? And what a finish from Ryan Grant off the underside of the crossbar. It's a trademark goal for Sydney's veteran defender.
Hello and welcome to Sky Blue Story. As Aaron Lewis said, it's been a while. But Sky Blue Stories is back with its full compliment tonight. Speaking of compliments, we have to compliment you all for sticking with us over the Christmas, New Year and holiday season, otherwise known as the How Australian Football Possibly Fuck Itself Over This Time. I'm your host, Jonathan Finger, and I'm joined by the regulars, Sean Maloney and Julian Baumbach. G'day, gentlemen.
Good night. Hey, Jonathan. Good night.
Fuck, how you guys going?
Evening. Sean's got a fuck in. I've got a fuck in. Jules, you got one in you?
There'll be plenty of fucks throughout. I mean, there's one there.
Hey, there'll be some fucks given. That's a good thing.
Yeah, hopefully.
That's a good thing. Tonight, as we take the profanity to brand new heights tonight, possibly on Sky Blue Stories. Tonight we need to thank, before we get too sweary, we need to thank Headcount, who is sponsoring this lovely episode and will probably sponsor next episode, to be fair. So for those that don't know, Headcount or Headcount app is going to change the way you socialize, or it will when the app launches next Thursday, January the 19th of 2023, the year that we're in. This is the brainchild of that JD Geezer, which I'm sure many of our listeners are aware of, and his best mate and business partner, Jovan Radanovic. Headcount aims to inform you in real time about venue traffic and attendance so you can make the right call to suit your plans. All the best to those young entrepreneurs.
Pretty cool idea for an app, to be fair.
Brand new app. Yeah. So I'm super keen to see it, boys. We've got to download that Thursday week.
100%.
Sean's keen.
Yeah, I thought it was a Call of Duty reference when I was a 15-year-old and taking all those headcounts.
Headcounts? You were never that
good. Run it back. Run it back.
It was World War II version of Call of Duty.
World at War.
The OG.
That's it. So now looking forward to that new project from JD and his mate. Now, gents, just before we get into the wonderful world of Sydney FC, we'll still call it the wonderful world of Sydney FC. I just thought we'd clear the air a bit. It's been probably 6 weeks or so since we recorded. It's been quite a while. We made a bit of a call. Full disclosure, I made a bit of a call that it might be a good idea to just hold fire on recording pods for a short while after the news that the APL came out with from nowhere to state that the next three, starting from this season, A-League men's and women's grand finals will be played at a venue in Sydney. At a venue across a partnership with Destination New South Wales, tourism arm of the government. Our reaction was fairly swift and we were all aligned with our thoughts, and those thoughts are no secret and they're very much in tune with, I want to say, 98, 99, percent of the general footballing public, gents. A bit generous there, but we made the decision to go off air just to sort of figure out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's I think you're right in your summation there, Jono, with those statistics. I think you'd be hard pressed to find a genuine football head to agree with probably the premise in which hosting a grand final in a location. Yeah, the fairness, the tribalism, lots of things. I don't think fans were probably, Yeah, I don't think we're talking out of turn here when we say fans probably weren't factored into this heavily. And pretty disappointed, particularly in Danny Townsend. I know there would have been other people on the board obviously passing this through, but the buck really does stop with Danny being the head of. So, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing when somebody who's done so much for the club and done so many great things just – kind of tarnishes, some would say ruins his you know, his reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sean, definitely a commercial decision.
Yeah, look, I'm all for investment in the game. I know we struggle up against our very bigger brothers, cricket, and especially AFL and NRL, but they just went the wrong way about in terms of the governance and the transparency and that decision-making process and pathway. And then, of course, the ultimate outcome of grand finals in Sydney. Like you mentioned, Jules, that word tribalism, like that's something very unique to our game. I know it can cross the line as what we saw 3 weeks ago with the victory down there, but that's something in the act of support is very unique.
That's
And market that, monetize that, you know what I mean, so to speak. So I'm all for investment, but I don't like the way they went about it and the ultimate
The biggest thing and the clearest thing for me is, you know, they've sort of come out and said, oh, yeah, we expected this reaction from the fans, but they're just emotional and, you know.
That's the, so tone deaf.
But when you have originally the 12 and then the 11 because of one stupid club that, you know, excluded themselves from the right to negotiate. When you've got all the fan groups joining together and immediately saying this is not right, including the clubs, and let's not be naive here, Sydney FC possibly, one of the two biggest beneficiaries of this decision from a sporting point of view. When you get everyone together like that, pulling in the same direction, you know that the decision's wrong. You just know, because this does not happen as you know, with as much vigor as it normally would. Sean, we were invited to a bit of a discussion,
and for a good hour and a half, maybe a tad longer.
Yeah, along with some other
And a few other familiar faces like Jamie all sides of the harbour and Michelle and who else was part of the call?
Roscoe, Southie. Quite a few. Mel Muscat was there. So a bit of a vast array, which I appreciated. And I think we all appreciated the invitation.
Yeah, for sure.
To come and listen to CEO Adam Santo and our media man, Mr. David Warriner. And basically, I guess, Jules, how would you describe the purpose of that? What did we discuss on that call?
I think it was more or less just trying to get a sense of an explanation as to the actual occurrence of and how everything unfolded, which was... I think I found that pretty interesting in terms of the club, the amount of notice they were given for the announcement, which I was a little shocked by initially. But then when you start to think about how the decision, they talk about, oh, we expected this, you know, reaction. Well, then maybe they expected that same reaction for the clubs and they just tried to quickly, you know, oh, yeah, by the way, we're releasing this tomorrow. See ya. Bye. Yeah.
so we can put them in the media conference.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot of... I think very underhanded tactics and techniques with the whole delivery of this. And that's been, you know, exposed as well because the players rightfully have come out and they've, you know, they've said, well, that's completely taken out of context. And
very sneaky what they did to Craig Goodwin and our own Remy Simpson in terms
Incredibly poor, incredibly poor. It's just, yeah, it's a real bad look. No matter which way you look at it, it's terrible. I think that's certainly what I got out of it. And I think obviously the club got probably a little bit of hate sent their direction indirectly because of the old the whole APL thing, the announcement, plus probably our connection a little bit probably would have been not played very well. But look, realistically, I think the club kind of was in the dark almost as much as what the fans were. They might have got a little bit of a heads up, but with the amount of notice, what are they supposed to do? Really, I mean, yeah, it's kind of difficult, and they're probably told there wasn't. Oh, yeah, can we release this? No, we're doing this, and it's already been agreed.
Yeah, this is coming out. That's right. That's right. So, yeah, let's not arc on it too much. Obviously, there's been a few fan protests around the league, which has been nice to see. I think all three of us feeling a bit. I don't know what the word is.
Disenchanted.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Good word, Sean. I was going to say nonchalant, but disenchanted, definitely. About what's going on around the place. It's very hard to be disconnected for a long time from a club that you love and a league that you love. And I hope that today's discussions, there were discussions today for those unaware with all of the active groups. With the APL about their wish for representation, and I just hope that the APL is aware, and that the active representation are aware that you know, they've got a privileged position where they get to have this discussion with the APL, and that they need to be speaking on behalf of all fans, not just active fans, because the vast majority of fans are non-active.
Exactly. So,
but the fact that they've got that audience, and I'm sure that the Cove boys and girls in particular will represent the entirety of the fan base, you know, to the best of their ability. And, you know, wish them luck, and I'm sure we'll find out either probably whilst this podcast is being released or possibly even just after. So we won't speculate as to what they've been talking about, but there was a meeting scheduled for today, which is Wednesday, the 11th of January. But all that aside, boys, why don't we get back into the swing of things? It has been a while, Sean. How's your button pushing? Have you been practicing?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
they're cramping up. Not used to the activity.
Carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
All right, coming at you like a flare from the Victory Supporter Bay. We're back with Around the Grounds, much awaited. She left, she came, she goeth again. Remy's back overseas, probably in a Russian gulag because we still don't know where she's going. No rumors, no little, I'm saying Europe.
I think they said Europe, yes.
Yeah, they did say Europe, but they just
really... Top league.
So why are they holding this information from us? What have they got to hide? Like,
because the new club hasn't announced it, Sean.
Oh, okay. Probably maybe NSL. Is that the word? No, no, NSL. What's it called? Super League over there in England?
Women's Super League, possibly. Yeah.
Possibly.
That'd be sick.
Oh, what else? What would be second to that? Probably French League?
Maybe. Yeah, I'd say French league. Even actually, the Spanish league's getting a little bit of legs as well now, so that's good.
He's just she's obviously just spent some time in Scandinavia.
Wasn't it a great experience from her? Great to see her back, and a little bit of a last hurrah, sticking the knife in to the Wanderers with that last ditch goal a few weeks back.
Looks strong. She looks strong for the brief time we had her.
Yeah. Tonight, but we'll talk about that momentarily. But there are reinforcements, and these reinforcements aren't shabby whatsoever. I was pleasantly surprised to see the names of this caliber at this point in the season, this time of the year. But like that, I'll quote the article, they've swooped, Sydney FC swooped on two major mid-season signings to bolster their attempt at achieving a record-breaking third consecutive premiership and a record equaling fourth championship. Tegan Collister and Rollard Butterweir, I say that right?
Very good.
We'll join the Sky Blues for the remainder of the season. So we've got a good old 22 and 24-year-old Tegan Collister, who's been around the traps of the W League and NPL for quite some time, spent some time recently at Olympic, W League-wise, Wanderers. Where else she been? I'm going to say Jets as well. I could be wrong. But a very versatile forward that does have goals with her or goals in her. And Rolla, not shabby at all, resume playing for Roma in the Serie B. Last year's NSL player of the season.
Yeah.
Now Jaden Kucharski. Did she get the golden boot too? Is it my imagination? No, I don't think she did.
Maybe not.
But absolutely fantastic from her time playing with Sydney University. And you've got, are you allowed to announce where she's going for next season? Or is this
it's already been okay. Advertised. Yeah, so she's a Spirit girl now.
She heard that Jules wasn't coaching there this season.
Yeah, and then she went. Yeah,
I mean,
that's it. That was one of the conditions in the contract. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good honor. Well done. US born striker. So she made the bench tonight up against 5:00. Great timing for a game.
She made a debut. She got on the pitch.
Come off the bench for Courtney. So good acquisition, and I think because I was hoping that they would sign somebody in place of Remy, because Mad Dog Maddie Haley has been killing it, going great guns. But we just, you know, you maybe could without somebody on the bench to take her spot. God forbid she got injured, suspended, etc. You could maybe put Prinny or Courtney in at 9, and then maybe play Rachel Lowe out wide or something like that. But or Shaden Evans, of course, but I think these two will be Ante's go-to. Maddie's out or needs something changed up in the 70th odd minute or something to that effect. So very good acquisitions, very good. Ante knows his recruitment, his
quality.
Absolutely fantastic. And Tegan will join us shortly from Copenhagen. That's
lovely,
everybody. All right. Next little bit, look, Rowdy's been busy. I think he's been catching up on a bit of time. He's been going nuts a little bit with his stats and whatnot. If you're not aware of SFC stats, you bloody well should be by now. Otherwise, there's something wrong with you. But a few important stats and then a little bit of homework for Rowdy, of course. When was this posted? 24th of December. So I think we've almost equaled or bloody close to it. I'll be a little bit conservative and say we're still in second place in terms of our highest rate of losses by calendar year. So at the time of the Rowdy posted this on the 24th of December on Christmas Eve, we were 49%.
Well, it would have been our last game of the year. So that could be why he posted it, Sean. Jules died a little.
So those cries are getting louder and louder. And, you know, those two words. I won't say the two words. They've been done to death, albeit very true and ringing true and holding a lot of weight and value at the
Please
moment.
Win.
But, yeah.
Say the word.
Win fucking.
Yeah. 49%. That's very embarrassing. And
49 across 2022. We lost 49% of games.
22. That's
not even like not winning. Like it's just losing games.
Lost.
Yeah. Lost games. That's fucked.
So this is going back to Farina years and the like. Those dark days down in the doldrums. So that's one little bit of stat there. Second one, this was maybe a little bit of a jinxing from Rowdy here. Sydney FC haven't lost their first match of a new year since 2012. Funnily enough, it was a 4-2 loss against Wellington. 2023 said, hold my beer, in Wellington won last week, of course. So that's quite ironic.
Was that Farina days as well, 2012, right?
I reckon that would have.
I think it was. Because he was, because ADP was 12-13.
Yeah, this would have been 11-12 season. This would have been 11-12 season.
Maybe not. Maybe it was. Fuck. Who the fuck would it have been? I'm trying to think now. Jesus, that's pretty bad.
Well, no. Crook came in for the ADP season to replace
Marina.
I want to say.
And then lasted three games.
You're testing.
Cosmina? Nah, not Cosmina.
Nah, he was pre, I reckon.
Yeah.
If we talk for long enough,
Hang on, Vitislav's second season?
No, because that would have been 10-11.
11, yeah, 10-11.
Whoever replaced Vitcha, far out. We're supposed to be...
Bruno Kalina?
Yeah, see...
Branko Kalina?
Choice, gentlemen.
This is pretty bad. I'm just naming every fucking manager that was ever had.
One really good one.
Terry Butcher, Sydney Army.
No, gentlemen, no. You know what, Jules? You were right. It is Laviska.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, it's probably my third guess, so I don't think you can say you were right.
Extension. Yep. Yep. It was Laviska.
Okay.
On his farewell tour, unfortunately, for Vitcher. But yeah, so we did win our first fixture, though, Sean, of the new year.
Oh, against Jets.
Oh, Jets. Yeah, true.
Yeah,
but a little bit of a nicer bit of stat was Redders becoming the 32nd player and second goalkeeper. And you should all know who that goalkeeper was to captain Sydney FC in a competitive match. So who was the second to? Yeah, Clint, of course. Of course, with Wilco out and Bratz out. So that was a nice little bit of stat as well. But my homework for Rowdy is, because that's on the bingo sheet for everyone playing at home. I know this is kind of null and void with us losing last weekend to Wellington. Was that Saturday night? It was Saturday, 5 o'clock. The previous
week
we beat the Jets 2-0, earning our first clean sheet of that of our season, of this current season, was, how do I word it? Maybe I'll just read what I put on the sheet. Was the clean sheet win against Newcastle the longest streak in our history to record a clean sheet?
Yeah, okay. So, like,
that makes sense.
Longest amount of games it took to keep a clean sheet.
Not a nil, like a win clean sheet, you know.
Okay, a win clean sheet. That's very niche. Yeah.
So, was it 10 months? It was 10 months or something, wasn't it?
No, I'm saying a string of games, not months. I mean, like, start of the season. How many games into the season has been the longest clean sheet?
Yeah.
But not calendar year or
so what round? Yeah. Okay, that's
yeah.
How many rounds in the season is the longest for us to get a clean sheet win?
Was good homework assignment
last week before the Wellington game? The first, like, good it was that the longest, or has there been longer?
Mm.
Another bit of homework for you, Rowdy, and I look forward to seeing it maybe by close of business.
Have this on my desk by
the other stat, Sean. Obviously, it's happened as we speak. Yes. Princess Abini.
Ah, yes.
Him.
The centurion.
Is all it takes.
100 games. At 22 years of age, you'll be
well done, Prinny.
You'll be 23 in 2 weeks' time. I think it is.
That's crazy.
Just imagine insane. How many games you'd have if they played actual proper home and away season.
That's right.
But
that's right.
So,
8 or 9 seasons now.
Wow.
You know, what a champion. It was a beautiful video from the girls at the club together. Wishing Prinny all the best. I really like that. Wholesome content, as the kids call it. With, you know, the likes of Kaya Simon, Remy again. Risa, Nat Tobin, current teammates. It was really, really nice to see Caitlin
Ford. OG A Green was there as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. So, it was just a really nice piece for Princess. Didn't get the result, unfortunately, this afternoon with a 2-0 loss to Western, which we'll talk about very briefly later on, obviously, because it's... 5 p.m. kickoff, so I don't imagine many of us were able to watch that as yet. Congratulations to our queen, Princess Abini. What a wonderful, wonderful achievement for her. Hope there's many more to come. However, after she got a debut goal for the Matildas back in June, gents, and she started this season in fine goal scoring form. Who knows? Who knows? Might be an overseas move for Princess in the not too distant future.
I can almost say that for about every one of them. Like, I know that I'm biased, but I almost feel like pretty much 3/4 of our team. I would not be surprised if a English or whatever kind of European club's looking over the fence, going, oh, that Mackenzie goes all right, and Sarah Hunter and Rachel Lowe and Maddie and, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Sarah Hunter's a bloody ballon d'or.
She'll get snapped up.
She's amazing. Very good. And that was
around the grounds.
The first time in 6 weeks around the grounds.
So shall we get into some discussion of football analysis, high tech of stuff for the Saturday game?
People tune into us for analysis.
Hot takes.
What are they?
Hot shit takes.
What are they? 11.
Yeah, Sean, let's do that, mate. Let's do that.
All right, look. Yeah, we Jono and I and a couple of the boys trudged over there. Humid, overcast, but humid. A little bit of sprinkler rain there on Saturday night. Still longing, and I won't include the Celtic game, still longing for a second win at our home, what is supposed to be a fortress, going down 1-0 to the Wellington Phoenix. Costa 1, Sydney FC 0, so to speak. A Zawada goal. in the 10th minute. So, look, our starting, it was a shame to hear that Bratz wasn't going to be a part of the team, falling ill, a little bit of crook, maybe a little bit of a bug, maybe something he's picked up from the kids. But I was excited to see Max back in the, continuing to be in the starting lineup. Look, I think we started off all right. I was fairly content for, I'm going to say, for about roughly 10 minutes. And then coincidentally, on the 10th minute, it all went to shit. But there's something that led up to that 10th minute goal by Zawada up front. Yazbek going down with concussion, a bit of a nasty knock, bashing into that handed on the, what would be the westerly sideline, I want to say, or the tunnel sideline, up amongst the tunnel club boys. And that led to a short period, although no excuses, of us being down to 10 men. Funnily enough, there was Wada that collided with Redders and challenging for a through ball, and he was able to pounce on this ball and find it, find some space and get it to the back of the net. So that was disappointing because I thought our start was half decent. Not great, not bad. It was decent. And then on, boys, what were your thoughts going forward?
I wish I was playing Pokemon Go with my son that was sitting next to me, and not paying much attention to the game. It was a bit of a, what's the word? Clueless sounds harsh.
It was a little bit of a snore fest. It got exciting towards the end of the last 10-odd minutes, but actually a bit longer than that, maybe 20 minutes. But
there was a bit of excitement at the end of the game. Might have been covered a little bit in the media.
Yeah, get excited. Look, you know, not long after, I thought we had an okay first half despite going down 1-0. Mac had a good shot. Grant had a goal. Grant blazed it over the crossbar down opposite the cove, down the other end. But they certainly had their chances too. Like, I didn't think Wellington would be particularly brilliant on the night. Thought they were just okay, pretty mediocre, and they made what few chances they had count. Redis had to pull off a couple of saves in the 19th and 33rd minute, one getting down low and kind of dropping his leg down like you do when you're fielding a ball out in the, you know, square leg, you know, out in the cricket field. But I guess my takeaway is we struggle to beat a mediocre team. If we're struggling to beat and find penetration against a mediocre team, a team that I don't think will make top six, what does that say for the other teams that are performing, that are better? I can't see us making top six this season.
It was just a nothing performance. Not helped with the absences of arguably our two best players, Luke Bratton and Joe Lolly. And then Patrick Yazbek, who I guess would have been brought in to play that pivot role, going down. Wish Pat all the best. Actually, he is out of the Perth fixture with concussion. So, not the best collision for the young bloke. But it was just we just looked lost. We so many misplaced passes and Balls over the top to no one and crosses that hit Rose Ed. I think we're all fairly aligned in our thoughts with regards to Bimby's tenure. But I think I said to you, Sean, on the day, it's not Bimby's fault that we're hitting free kicks three goals high.
Mm.
You know, not even near a player. I mean, that's not his fault.
And if we just for that 6 foot plus, why not put some nice slow crosses in or cutting it back across the box, you know, towards the edge of the 18-yard box. I thought Diego, I know you reminded me this about, I know, within the last month, Jono, that I declared early in our potting season that Diego was going to be an X factor.
Ooh, yes, you could have said.
He's been out of
shape. And I think you said that Joe Lolly wouldn't go well. So
I was just talking them all into form. Well, one
that's
in
right.
That's very right. Much out of
form. I don't know, Jules. What were your thoughts on the game? I we'll talk about the chaos in a minute, but just nothing.
I think we were piss poor. I'm not going to pull any punches. I think we were fucking terrible. Overall, I'm not just saying moments. Yeah, you're going to have moments, and every team has moments in a game. That's nothing. You got to do something with those moments, one. And two, you should be having a stranglehold on a game like this against Wellington at home. Fortress Allianz is no longer Fortress Allianz. It's destroyed. There's just rubble in terms of the fortress. So that's, you know, when that gets rebuilt, who knows? I think we'll be waiting a little bit longer.
Yeah. We don't have an aura anymore. No team. Nah. Kind of scared of us and going,
why would you? Would you be?
We'd almost be seen as an easy 3 points.
Mm. I would. Yeah.
Even Jimby said we're better on the road than we are at home.
Yeah, but it's a fucking joke. Because it's fresh, then we just mention him. Worst left back we've ever had. I don't care.
Mark Warren.
Mark Warren's great. On par, maybe, but realistically, for weighing up where he's come from, supposedly, and what we're paying for him, fuck me, seriously,
a foreign spot. As someone said to me, you know, he's not doing anything the fifth best left back in the NPL could have done.
100%, and that's the thing is that we got him for dead ball, for a dead ball specialist. I haven't seen him hit a good cross, mate. Or maybe a lie.
One out of seven, maybe.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Cross the other week against Jets for Alpha.
That was good. That was unreal.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
It's like 1 in 10.
Yeah.
It's a bit like
Allianz Stadium, gents. I think we've been sold a bit of a lemon there.
Mm. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, like, that's great, like delivery, and that's very important, especially for modern day 205. But you need your 205 to actually be a good defender.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I haven't seen him read anything. I've seen him get done one-on-one a lot of times.
Out of position. Seems like a lovely bloke, but...
Seems like a really good guy, but I just don't think he's up to this level.
It's not up to the level. While we're on the stadium, sorry, Sean, just while we're on the stadium, looks beautiful. But rocking up and nothing was open. Mm. Nothing was open. I'm not exaggerating. They had one bar in the center of the concourse there open. They had a pizza joint and then a little cafe on the side. That was it. That was all that was open.
Oh, no, but there was 13,000 at the game, Jono.
Ah, well, that's to my next point. Thank you, Sean, for setting me up. So when I inquired about it to the lovely lovely people working in the cafe where I bought my $8 fucking paddle pop, $8 for a paddle pop.
That's
not
unreal.
A box, one, right? I said, you know, mate, do you have any idea why nothing's open? You know, is it because the cricket's on next door? They don't have the staff? Like,
yeah.
I said, they said they're expecting a crowd of 7,000, so nothing's open. I went, I suppose that's a bit of a cop-out. Then they announced there was 13,000.
No way there was 13. We need that South Melbourne account again.
And if there were 13,000 and you're not opening any of your hospitality options that you've spent 6 months of the fucking off season flogging to death to say how wonderful it is.
Yeah.
And then not have anything open. Fuck me.
No, that's all right though, because there's people that are, you know, again, club apologist, and I think we all know who the fuck we're talking about. But every single time that something gets criticized, and I saw it again on Twitter, I'm just like, you can't defend everything that the club does. And the club, I will say, what they have some say in this. They would have some say in it. I think that they're sort of at the mercy of the trust as well. But surely there is, you know, some way they can say, come on, guys, this is taking the piss. You got to open some more facilities. Yeah,
really,
it's pretty bad.
Really, really, really disappointing. Really disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
Let's jump ahead to the 60th minute.
Sorry, Sean.
I got back to my seat and I thought we had scored. But VAR. Was he offside? Was it a bee's dick in it?
Yeah.
I didn't see the lines in the end, Jules. Did you?
I saw the lines. Yeah, you could probably like, yeah, from the lines, he looked like marginally offside, marginally like a shoulder offside. So,
live, it looked offside from where I was sitting. I sort of said, lovely finish, but I
think it was a good finish. It's a great finish, to be fair. Yeah. Very similar to his goal against, who was that goal? Was that Leichhardt?
That might have been against the Knicks as well.
I think so.
That's in the intro, that commentary for that goal.
Yeah. But it looked very nice. It was really nicely worked. Again, I think it was Caballo that put the cross in.
Yeah, that's good. If
your arm, like hand, can your hand be offside? Would that be counted as offside?
Yeah, that's fine. It's not a goal scorer. It's not a goal scoring. So they've changed it. They've also changed it a bit. They want to make it even more confusing now. So like if you're defending, a hand can keep you onside. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. So now because you can defend, a defender can defend with their hand in a way, like they can obviously jostle and stuff.
I see what you're saying.
I think, I don't know, like I swear I saw that somewhere and I was like, that seems a bit odd.
Instead of taking the measurement from the back foot or whatever it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't quote me on it. I could be completely off my rocker and could be wrong, but I've seen them before,
Jules.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's on the back foot.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was a nice move. It was a nice move. Unfortunately, you know, didn't pay off. Now, you know, there's a Sydney FC conspiracy though.
I love that fucking Cecil.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't, you know, I'm about to put the tinfoil hats on with what happened in the last 20 minutes.
We might disagree on a few things. Go on, take us through the
75th minute. Krajev sent off. Well, I thought it wasn't that fucking much in it, but it seemed like a little bit of a knee in the back. Maybe 100%. I'm just built tough in the Canterbury. I'm built tough in the Canterbury Association. That's nothing. Pats you on the back for one of those. But
that was a definite yellow card.
Okay.
I didn't know he was already on a yellow card, but that was a definite yellow card.
Okay. All right.
Jules?
I don't know. I think I would have been really, if the shoe was on the other foot, I'd just try to think of that. And if the shoe was on the other foot and we got a player sent off for that, I think I would have been pretty.
Well, Segicic nearly didn't have a shoe on because he scraped his calf with his studs and then kneed him in the back.
He's a little fella.
Don't get me wrong. I think there's obviously contact there and everything like that. I don't know.
Harsh.
It's just
people saying harsh, but letter of the law, mate, I've got no problem with that decision whatsoever.
Yeah.
Fast forward 15 minutes, Pennington said, hold my beer. He was given his marking orders for his fiery head-to-head, quite literally.
Dallas.
With Maxi. Is that a red?
What? What sparked? Were they just coming together?
That tackle. Just the tackle.
I think he said to me, get a haircut, you mug. He could brush it a bit, Max, admittedly. Maybe just a little bit of product, get some from Paolo. But
Maxi had an all right game.
Yeah.
Not many of them did. Again, live, I said they should both get the same, either yellow or red.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded if they both got the same.
I think that it was justifiable to give both the same. I think it's
the letter of the law thing.
It's the hand up at the throat that's probably killed him. But if you look at it, Maxi's gone like he's about to grab him by, and I think he's put his arm up, and then it's sort of just been like, and it's like
Maxi was the aggressor, wasn't he? Like,
yeah, he did. Yeah, Maxi probably provoked him a little bit as well. Yeah. But I mean, you can't react like that, regardless. But in saying everything, I thought again, I'm like, really, a red for that? Like it was, a straight red. That's kind of, if you're gonna do it, give Maxi one too. I don't want, but regardless, just give them both yellow, tell them to calm the fuck down and move on.
I think that would have been absolutely sufficient.
Yeah.
So
I think whatever gave out, it should have been the same, I thought.
Yeah.
So for 20-odd minutes, a bit more, but 20-odd minutes, we had the numerical advantage, not once but twice. I thought we were just playing fucking stupid football. These dinky little...
How many shots on goal?
So, of course, and understandably so, Phoenix are going to defend. They're going to defend their lead. They only got 9 men at that point with about 15 minutes to go, sitting back deep. And we just kept on dinking these little balls into the box, hoping there would be a clusterfuck or fall to somebody's feet and we'll score. But yeah, it was just really unintelligent football. Like, there was no plan of how to break down the defense based on the circumstances of the game and the numerical advantage that we had. A cross gets put in. Alfie gets his head to it. I thought it hit like the shoulder blade of Payne. I didn't think it was a handball. I thought it got...
So apparently there is a camera angle that was not shown on the broadcast.
I've been privy to.
That it was very obvious that it struck his arm, his back arm, left arm, on the way through, and that's what Sean Evans called the penalty.
Okay.
So, all
right, if that's the case.
I'm with Sean. I thought it was off his shoulder, off his Barry Mulder. If any of the decisions I disagreed with, that was probably the one that I went, nah, that's shit. But, yeah, apparently, I think they said on the about to say the Fox Football podcast then, boys, that's been a while, the A-League podcast. James Dodd was saying that he saw the angle and it was 100% a penalty.
So, all right, so Alfie steps up. I know, try and take out what happened subsequently. Were you confident with Alfie stepping up, taking the pen? Because I wasn't. I think he's been a bit poor. And even before last Saturday's two pens, I think he's been a bit hot and cold. I might have given it to Mac, but yeah, easier said than done in hindsight. It was a very poor.
Gone are the days where he drills it down the center into the just under the crossbar. Yeah. I mean,
something. He needs to just go to a park, take the kids, and just
look like a player that just doesn't have any confidence at the moment. Unfortunately, I feel for him. It's not really his fault. It's hard.
But even at that stage, Sean, even at that stage, we said we don't deserve a draw here.
No, we don't. It would have been a travesty. Yeah.
We've been that poor. We didn't really deserve it. We were.
I think.
I would have felt a little bit.
Just
a little
bit.
I think. A lot of the fan base might have been, as weird as it sounds, probably the only time it's ever happened where we would have been almost disappointed to get a draw. for a couple of reasons, like one that we've sort of hinted at throughout the pod, because I think it possibly just puts paper mache over cracks, or whatever the expression you want to use.
We don't even have to hint, boys.
Yeah,
everyone knows that Steve Corica needs to be politely let go of.
You're in a safe space here, Jules. You can speak.
Everyone knows. We don't need to hint at it. Like. Everyone knows but the club.
Mm.
And the fact that we're at Wednesday, 10 past 9.
They know, but they don't have the balls to do it.
That's what they're facing.
It's just it's a sad state of affairs as well. And like, obviously, we're going off on a little bit of a tangent towards.
Sorry, what
we've, but like, we'll thumb fair enough. Yeah.
But LaFondra, 2 minutes later, if that wasn't hilarious enough and just absolute calamity, 99th minute, yeah, intervenes again. This one I thought, unlucky for Wellington, but yeah, okay.
Yeah,
his arm was a bit up and away from his body as he's trying to block Ertl's cross. Just unfortunate how your body moves in those kind of instances. And Alfie steps up again, and I'm thinking, like, if it were me, Jules, you know, if you're a coach, I've coached, I kind of feel like if it was me, and I'm very vocal on the field or often when I'm on the bench, and a bloke of my team misses a pen, or even if they miss a free kick and like sky it, I'm like, no, somebody else is next. It should have been somebody else.
It depends on a lot of things, right? Because I don't know. I don't know. It's tough because if he's stepped up and grabbed the ball again, like that's showing confidence. And then the last thing you want to do to a player is say, nah, fuck that, mate. You give that to somebody else. He'll never score a penalty again. But you know what I mean? It's a weird one.
He's a big boy. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be fine. I feel for him missing a pen.
No, you're not taking the pen, and Max is going to take it. And if he has a little soul for a minute or two, too fucking bad. I'm here to win games, or at least snag a draw.
I think Jack Rodwell should have taken it, boys.
He had money on it.
Mainly because I might have had money on him to score at any time. But. But yeah, I do feel for Alf.
It was again, even worse like we, first. It was horrible, John O'Jules.
Like we said, it shouldn't have come to that.
No,
you know, and we didn't deserve a result. Not that makes it any different, but yeah, we're shit. Hey,
we're bad.
We're pretty bad. Pretty bad. God, it's hard.
Let me run a few things by you guys and get your opinion. I thought Sagegic was very
poor. I don't have any opinions.
Very poor. To come in and play.
Well, Sega Dreamcast was not a Dreamcast. It was more of a
Atari
Master System.
Yeah. Or a Commodore Amiga 64.
Ooh,
although I had one, it was quite good. And then to get dragged before the game, well, fuck whoever it was,
yeah,
kind of said
I would not have.
See, Yaz got hurt, Sagegic came on, and then Max came into the midfield with Adrian out wide. That's two changes to your lineup. I would have put Girdwood right just to.
It's happened before as well. We've talked about this, I swear, on the pod.
Yeah, leave Max
making out, two changes where one would have done.
Well, they did in the first game with Victory, you know, putting Retro out wide. Just a like-for-like player, one centre mid for another, and then that's mm-hmm. it. Keep that. I'm thinking of the old days with FIFA with the chemistry, little lines and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Exactly.
I think they got rid of that.
They revamped the chemistry system. It's more complex.
Well, it doesn't, like, no matter which way you look at it, it doesn't make sense.
No. I love the tactical genius to take off Cabello for O'Toole. Oh, unreal.
How good was that?
A like-for-like chains when we're changing the chasing
this
the
is game. Why it doesn't this is why it doesn't make
what's
sense
what's the logic behind that, Jules?
There isn't, you can't even all jokes aside, like we're laughing about it now.
That was dummy.
Laughing about it now, but how is that
game? So I'll put a different left back on who offers.
Boys, this is why it doesn't make sense, right? For those that don't know, Jake Girdwood-Reich is a midfielder. He's been coming on to cover left back for the last 3-4 games.
Yeah.
So he was on the bench with Connor O'Toole, an out-and-out left back. And instead, so why was Jake there? He didn't come on into midfield, and you had a left back on the bench.
Yep. It you just, played. You could have gone to a three at the back straight away and just popped Girdwood Reich in the midfield.
Last 10-15 minutes, I'd go back three. I'd have like Donks, Kyo, and Grant. I'd even then think of maybe taking Retro off and putting even Rodwell into that CDM kind of role, to try and mirror what Bratz gives in terms of that distribution and bit of vision and playing between the lines. Something that we don't have next to Paolo. I know he's not Braddon. Not many people are. And something
Rodwell even had the Barnett to play that position for Braddon. Right, the
mad drip hair. I don't know what you call it, but yeah.
Oh,
but yeah, it was still no Braddon there. Just no creativity, very side to side. Like we had decent possession and field position, but we just can't do fucking anything with it.
So one-dimensional.
So when do we talk about? Are we over the Corica out chat? Is there anything we want to?
I just think that the one thing I'll add is that there's literally no one that's advocating for him to keep the role at all
since the start.
So I think that's
if I can use Twitter.
That's
it'd be like. Corica, and like it was pretty much one, like, oh no, it's probably one for one, Corica in and then a Corica out. And then
I think opposition fans are, Jules. I think you're wrong. I think opposition fans want him to stay.
They want him to stay 100%. I've seen a few comments on the signing to a lifetime contract, all this, which is it's pretty terrible. We've become a meme club, bastard. Like,
I can have. It's again, as I was saying before, boys, it's 9 o'clock on a Saturday. No, it's Wednesday night. Clearly he's going to Perth for this away game. As we said, I'm pretty sure I said this last pod that we did post Sydney Derby. Pre-World Cup break. We've had a World Cup since we last recorded. And it really is a when.
I think it has to be now.
Not if. And we got that great result against Melbourne City, who maybe were a bit off after the World Cup break.
Coach.
We got a great result in the Sunsets jersey. And we went away to the Mariners. We looked woeful. Mariners looked good, but we were pretty average.
MacArthur.
I know it didn't help with them coming off or getting redded, but I think that's what they're hoping for. But we've got a tough three games on the road. We're on the road the next three games, and Perth are in some decent form. I think they're thinking...
Perth are, what, unbeaten?
Unbeaten at home. Fortress Macedonia. But I think they're kind of... They don't have the balls to do it. B, I think they're hoping, they'll beat Perth next week and Wilco will come back and Bratz will get over his illness and Lolly will return from his red card and all be right as rain. You know, she'll be right, mate. You know, we'll come good. I hope so. Look, I like we do, don't we? It's like I kind of think of it like when an opposition premier or prime minister who I haven't voted for gets in, I don't want them to fail because then it means people in the public, you know, in the society don't do well. So like I want Corica to do well. I don't go to sleep any better at night knowing that I've been right for about the last 2 years. Me and your dad, Jules.
Just bonding over. Yeah.
Hoping he could adopt me.
Sean, you say a coach is gonna get sacked. You know, there's only really two outcomes. Like they're not gonna coach forever.
No, that's it. But yeah, it's tough, man, because like it's a shit situation no matter what you look at it, because we're realistically gonna have to at one stage, you know, have to move on a club legend. That's a pretty awkward sort of thing to have to do. And that's the thing. I think some people have probably misconstrued some of the people saying that Corica needs to move on for Corica hate. It's certainly not that. It's just that nothing, you know, personal. Everything sort of, no, nothing personal at all. Sometimes it just, it isn't working. in football, and as much as you'd love for it to work, mate, I've experienced a United fan with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I would have loved for that guy to have been the guy to take us forward and start to win things, but he just wasn't. He wasn't up to it, unfortunately. And he's still a club legend, and he always will be. It's very similar for Stevie. Whenever it does happen, and I think we pretty much can say it is. Eventually, it's got to happen. I can't see a way out for us. I can't see us, put it this way, Sean. I know, you know, you're saying that, you know, obviously we want it to be successful. We want things to work out. I can put hand on heart and say that I don't think we'll win anything if we keep the status quo. Like, not ever again, but realistically, but I can't see it for a very long time.
And I don't necessarily want us just to go out and like, I know there's people talk about Nick Montgomery, you know, Mariners coach. He's a fantastic coach. And I slowly, you know, did say, and I agree with you as well, the last time we pinched a Mariners coach, it worked out all right. But I also would like us to, hopefully the board's doing so, looking abroad, just keeping an open mind. Because I still think we're 2-3 kind of players away from being a premiership winning team. But there's still some quality there, some good players there that aren't playing to their potential, and I don't think Bimby is able to squeeze the best out of this team tactically and even just in terms of player management. We're seeing with the doco on Paramount, just the way he talks and presents himself. Maybe there's some editing in there, and you know, TV does this and that, but he's just not very inspiring. I think the boys are just down on confidence. They feel a bit lost out there.
I don't even think they need to look too far for a potential replacement. You know, it's hard to speculate because it's probably not the greatest thing because somebody's still in the role. But, you know, if a time came, I mean, maybe they don't have to look that far at all. Maybe they've got somebody already within the confines of the Sydney FC Sky Blue walls that could do the job, in my opinion. So it just would be how they navigate that conversation.
Unless you're referring to Ante.
I am referring to Ante. I think Ante would do a great job. I think obviously you need to make sure that we're not compromising the women's as well, because that's very important, and should be treated as equal footing. The fact is that if we can get somebody in the role that understands the club culture straight away, I think that's a huge plus. And I think Ante is, you know, he's part of the furniture. So also potentially paves the way for, you know, a female women's coach to come through as well. So I think that would be a great step forward for the club. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Whoever steps up, and there's a few really good candidates potentially. So, there certainly would be not my pick, but I think it would have to be a consideration, gents. Surely.
But boys, we're only two wins off second.
That's true. That's true. I can't wait for that to be the headline when we nab a 99th minute winner against Perth.
We're actually 6 points off second.
It's killer, isn't it? It's kind of
and again, I reckon that they're saying that in club meetings. Well, but look at it, you know, we win a couple, this and that, lose a couple. Yeah, we're back in the six. It's just like,
if we lose against Perth, we can go to like 10th, and then if we lose again against who we got after Perth,
Western away.
Okay, so if you win two, okay, you're second, maybe, probably more likely third or fourth with other results, right? Everyone else will catch up. Or you lose two and you're bottom.
And both these teams are below us currently.
Yeah, exactly. So, you do lose those two games and you're bottom. So, fuck me,
yeah.
It goes both ways, unfortunately.
Shall we talk a little bit of Oh, no, we've got SSC. Oh, do I have to vote for anybody?
Max was okay.
Not player of the
match. I vote for the referee because
yes,
made it a bit.
He almost got us the win.
I voted for
VAR. Yeah.
I voted for Pokemon Go.
No, in all seriousness, I'm abstaining from that. I can't.
I'll vote for the steak sandwich I had at the Strawberry Hills Hotel beforehand.
Pretty good, wasn't it?
You got it. Yeah, it was quite decent.
Pretty good. Yeah, it was.
We'll get that next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, on brighter news, let's talk about the women's. We'll kind of encapsulate this.
Yes.
Both in terms of the Jets win last week and the girls playing tonight. When you're hearing it, it will be last night. The girls last week got a 4-2 win against Newcastle Jets. Was a little bit touch and go towards the end. It was 3-2, but Princess gets up and has a pen after being dropped down in the box, scoring a goal in what was her 99th game for the club. Hayley, Hawk, Hunter, and of course Princess, as aforementioned, getting the goals. Look, a very good solid win against Newcastle. They're a meh kind of team.
Record-breaking win, Sean.
Yeah. Record-breaking win for the girls.
Three goals.
Oh, the first
team. Oh, three goals in 7 minutes. Unreal.
Maddie gets her first goal.
My app couldn't catch up. My app couldn't catch up. I just saw 1, 2, 3 all at the same time.
Got on the stuff up by the Newcastle Jets defender, and Maddie did the rest. And then McKenzie's goal and then a Hunter's before it were both beautiful. Not counter-attacking, but just beautiful movement, you know, like at Jules at training, you know, you do that kind of playing through the thirds, kind of small-sided games and things like that. And that they just played beautifully through the pass and move, lovely flowing movement. And Macca and Sarah finished it off. The first 10 minutes was just insane. Would that have been the fastest goal in history?
It'd be close to it.
Yeah.
I think it'd be close to the fastest goal in Dub history. It has to be, because how many seconds was it?
19.
19. I think it might have been second.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But it was almost a curse in disguise of sorts, scoring so early and going up 3-0. You know, maybe the girls did take their foot off the pedal a bit. You're not going to go, oh, geez, it's only 10 minutes on the clock. We better not score yet. Like, yeah, maybe we'll wait 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Score, you know, sorry, my life, whenever you get the chance. Football. But look, so 4-2 win, happy days. Finished on top of the ladder, but now we're not anymore. And let's jump to tonight's game. I will say, and I'll start off on a little bit of a negative, I don't think it's alarm bells, but we've conceded 4 goals in 2 games. That's very unlike Sydney.
Uncharacteristic for us, yeah.
So I don't think Auntie needs to start, you know, panicking, but maybe a little bit more of an emphasis, a training on defense. They've got a week and a half to their next game. Yeah, it's just like, And Western, they're the fucking real.
We've had Jarter out for both those games as well.
Still got to get through 10 players, you know?
You do, but, you know, in terms of, and I'm not having to go at Katie Offer, but, you know, in terms of the organization, the familiarization with the back four, the instruction and whatnot, so that'll be a whole new experience for all the girls. So, yeah,
both like I said, Sean, it might not be. Both of Western's goals were kind of scrappy-ish. They didn't, like, we could have been tighter at the back and just first to the ball. It wasn't that they necessarily played the champagne football. And pass, bang, bang, shot, bang, goal. It was kind of two somewhat scrappy goals. So, you know, goal's a goal. It goes in and goes in, and it's the same regardless. But, yeah, it's the Western United girls. I thought maybe when they won their first few games, like, oh, you know, beginner's luck. Maybe the other teams are a bit complacent, you know, how to kind of play them. But it's that 7 games in a row for them. And they're winning in all sorts of different.
I wonder what the record is for the most consecutive amount of wins in a W League season. Yeah, rowdy.
Franchise as well. Like,
Yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty unreal. Yeah. But yeah, look, I think it's just, I think in all honesty, you know, Western obviously doing quite well. City are obviously always thereabouts and us as well, right? But I don't think there's any need to push the alarm button just yet.
We don't want to push first anyway, Jules.
No, it's the curse. It's the curse of first.
Someone else can get the be there at the big dance and doing the big dance. Yeah. In what would be a few months' time. So the girls went down tonight 2-0. We did have our chances. Like, we had good possession, field position. We had a gluttony of shots and shots on target, just not clinical enough to put it away. So maybe a little bit of a lesson for the girls. They'll take their Madison. Arte will get them up and revving for what would be Saturday week's game against, fuck, I don't know who they're playing. But anyway, they don't play this weekend. They play next. So we'll certainly preview it at the time next week. So all good there. All right, let's preview. We've got Perth Glory this weekend, Saturday, 14th of January, Macedonia Park, 10:30. What's Perth? Are they 3 hours by four? Three?
Yeah. Yeah.
There'll be
7:30, I think, at the moment.
Australian Eastern daylights.
How good's Macedonia Park? Packing it out. They're packing that, getting about 3,500 there for most of the games. And I think they're undefeated there.
Yeah.
Hugh from two.
So far.
Wanderers,
Brisbane, yep. Victory, maybe?
Might have been Victory, yeah.
Three games. Despite rumours of a bit of squad unrest there, which I think we've alluded to on the pod before as well, in terms of the changes over there over the last 12 months or so. I think two of their most senior players, Ryan Williams and Mark Beavers, were left out of the last game, and they still got a result, and then they were straight back into the starting lineup despite not being announced in the squad for the win that they had last night. So, Interesting times over there, but Zad's lads are doing okay. And speaking of Zad, Kovic, boys, we put a poll out this afternoon, our first one for a while, and I think it's the closest one ever. And a bit unexpected, the result for me, fellas. So we for our played for both segment tonight, we put it to you just this afternoon for a short time. We had former Socceroo Simon Colosimo in there, who obviously played for both, championship winner with Sydney FC. Richie Garcia, who had a wonderful one season with us in a fairly poor Sydney FC side, Alessandro Del Piero. On the list, we had Joel Chianese, who came through the youth system here. Former teammate of our very own Julian Bombach. Is that right, Jules? Yes.
That's right, yeah. First rep
and,
team.
And the current Perth Glory coach, Ruben Zadkovic, who spent better part of 2 years, 2.5 years at Sydney FC, his first professional gig after being in QPR as a youngster. And Zadkovic won. Boys, so
love it.
The fans have spoken with 31%. From 90 votes, so I think that's probably 30 votes, is it? Or 30 or thereabouts. Colosimo, 25.6. Garcia, 23.3. Chianese, 20%. So there was not much to split them at all. But Ruben Zadkovic, as I said, first professional contract with Sydney FC, was a part of the inaugural championship-winning squad. And played, I think, 10, 15 minutes off the bench in that first grand final for Sydney.
Jersey. Zadkovic. Look at your screen, Jonathan.
Here we go. Julian's just
your shirt off
out of season one. Ruben Zadkovic.
Sorry?
Take your shirt off.
Put it off. is Ruben another former teammate of yours, Jules?
No, he's not. No. I just really liked him when I first started following Sydney for some reason.
Got a bit of a similar haircut at the moment, actually. With the
I think curls. We, yeah, exactly. It's, well, when he still was able to have hair back then, so yeah.
Were you a part of Zad's lads, Jules?
I was not a part of Zad's lads. No. I think by that stage, I'd realised he wasn't much of a footballer, so. he seems like he's an all right gaffer, though, to be fair.
You he's know doing... what? He ended up carving out an all right career.
Fuck us up now. He listens to this.
Huh? Yeah, that's right.
No, you know what? You know what I was going to mention in this when he, because I voted for it. I got, I actually voted for this because I, In all seriousness, I did like him when I was growing up.
That's okay. You're allowed to.
But I will say JFC, for anyone who hasn't watched it, he has two tribute videos to Ruben Zadkovich. Anybody who knows JFC?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still holds the record for the fastest red card in the A-League. Is that right?
Like 12 seconds or something,
something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy. He came on as a sub. Yeah.
Playing for Perth. Yeah. Two-footed. Starts up.
Nah, he only knows one way, the tackle, and that's, you know, get stuck in. That's why I think he's... Yeah.
That's it. But hey, he certainly showed some talent when he was at Sydney. Yeah. He was only 19, 20-year-old at the time. He'd come back over from the UK. I think, like I said, he's on the books of QPR, actually. Lobbed at Notts County for a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, came in as an injury replacement initially for Sydney FC for Pierre Littbarski. Mm. Signed in place of Uffy, who injured himself, and rocked up in, I think, round 19 of season one, around the same time that he's a name from the past, boys. Tolgay Ozbay.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Around that time. But unlike Tolgay, who I think has a career 1 minute for Sydney FC, Zad's ended up playing close to 50 games for the club over that first season and then the following two. So before being released to go over and try his hand again at Derby County, showed some talent, I thought, from my memory.
He scored a belter, I think, at Adelaide. Was it Adelaide? Oh, I can't remember what it was. It was an absolute screamer of a goal.
Would have been. Was that in a heavy defeat? I feel like it was in a heavy defeat, but he started to get that reputation for the long-range bombs.
Mm.
And he scored quite a few in his, you know, in his later career, whether it was for Newey Jets or Perth. But like I said, boys, from my memory, just young Tearaway with the shock of blonde hair tearing down the sidelines, usually either coming on as a wing back or in the midfield there in those inaugural seasons. So like you, Jules, I quite liked the bloke. For me, the iconic moment of him is actually his celebration on the stand at the trophy presentation. And he was just absolutely loving life. And you've got all these, you know, ex-NSL players, ex-Socceroos, all these professionals loving it up there, and he's just there just absolutely loving life as a 19-year-old. And he's joined the club sort of 4 or 5 weeks beforehand, started a semi-final and just loving life. Sean, were your memories of Ruben?
Don't have many? Getting sent off, but that was for Perth. So in terms of Sydney FC days, that's a little bit before my time.
Card.
I was, you know, going to games back then, hadn't signed up as a member, admittedly. So my memory of his days are very hazy, very hazy.
Who did you vote for, Sean?
Joel Chinese.
Joel Chinese.
And I voted for Garcia because I thought it'd be a good one to chat about Richie. But then we had a lot of people messages sort of saying it's got to be this one. It's got to be Jim. It's got to be, you know. Mark Warren also got a look in, but didn't get enough votes, gents.
Liam Reddy. We could do played for both with literally every club.
I actually tried to get a lot of Melbourne City in there. Colosimo and Garcia were both Hart/City. So.
Oh yeah, true.
That was a good one. That was a good one tonight to sort of look back. And at one stage, I wasn't sure if we'd get four people, but there have been a few. Obviously, more recently, as you said, Sean, Joel Chinese, who's still playing his trade over in India in the Super League, might be for Hyderabad. And much more recently, Aaron Calver, who went over there after we won the grand final a couple of years ago.
And Branners.
Branners. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean,
Musti now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luke Ivanovic is over there.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's quite a few these days that have made that very long switch across the Nullarbor. But let's preview the game, Sean.
Another thing I heard in terms of Perth squad for this weekend, Adam Taggart. I think this will be his first game. So dangerous as another element of, look, you know, a month ago, if you'd asked me, will we beat Perth? I'd be like, yeah, should do. No problem. No worries. With our form, losing last week, Perth doing very well at home under tricky circumstances of what their club's been like in the last, 12, 18 months or so. I'm not so confident. My heart's saying, yeah, we'll get a win, albeit a tight one. My head's saying, no. Question for it in terms of our lineup. I think good to see on a positive note, if I can take something positive away from last week, is that Rodwell's not injured. So it's good to see him not injured, get through a full game last week. So I don't see why we'll have Rodwell and Donks in the middle.
Should we?
Should we what?
Should we have Rodwell and Donicky in the center?
Who else would you put? Unless Wilco.
Aaron Gerd.
Would you have Rodwell?
Gerd? Aaron Gerd and Jack Rodwell.
Yeah, look, I would.
You got a youngster. You got a youngster that's improved every game that he's played, right? James Donaghy, with the greatest of respect, is just not at an A-League standard level defender.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'd be totally cool with that, Jono, and put Gerd in.
He may have been at one stage. I'm not saying he never was, but he's just not up to it, whatever it is, whether it's the change of partner every week, which is obviously not his fault. But he's just not there. He's just a totem thing. Jules, what are those things you use at training? You run around them.
No, agility poles.
Agility poles. Yeah,
that's all he is. So play Aaron Gerd. Like I said, every game that he played, he was improving. Have Donaghy, have the experienced head on the bench if you need. But still conceding goals, you know. I feel like in the A-League, a lot of the time, you know, just because you got 100 appearances, 150 appearances, like your spot's sacred, right? It's sort of like the foreign player rule, like O'Toole won't start because Caballo's a foreigner. Bullshit. He's not performing.
Play exactly.
And let him take his medicine, and hopefully that might set him up his ass and train harder.
That's just my aside, Sean.
Look, Corica is a creature of habit, so he'll start Diego. I'd like him to maybe give Connor a go and start the game. Jake Gerwood-Reich, I don't see him as an out-and-out left-back, but he would do a job. In the midfield, Bratz will be back. AC, who I think has been a bit meh this season. And who else will be in there? Hopefully not Retre. Like, in all due respects, like, he just doesn't offer a lot going forward. So who else would be in there?
You could put Maxi there.
Yeah,
you could put Maxi there.
But look, he kind of went missing. He just wasn't potent. He just when he got dropped into the midfield when Yazbek went off, I just felt like he just wasn't shining or wasn't able to show his best attributes and play to his potential, pardon the cliche. In the midfield, he'll go in there, he'll do a job. But I'd prefer to see maybe give Jake a go or something like that. But yeah, we'll be pleased and have Bratz back. Lolly will be back up front. Now
Mac will be there.
Would either of you be inclined to start or not to start Alfie next week? Missing two pens.
Yeah.
You sit him on the bench for missing, like, and it's
maybe
before that,
not even the two pens thing.
Yeah, like I didn't think he was that great in the game in general. Anyway, I thought he was, but a part of it is like, not getting the service. But then you could say it on the other side. Well, maybe his movement into space to receive the ball wasn't good enough to, you know. So there's argument on both sides. I don't think Wood's been crash hot either. Like you said, with Gerd, Jono, Jaden Kucharski, start him. Start him at nine.
Maybe.
There's a call. On either side. Why not? It's not a matter of, oh, we've got nothing to lose. Got to
try something.
But yeah, Gerd in there with Rodwell, JK up front with Mac and Lolly.
It's a good wish. It's a good wish list, but we all know it won't happen.
You know, when managers are backed against a wall,
hopefully,
like he clearly is, sometimes they will
have to
youth, you know, and sort of say, well, I've got to show that I'm doing something, or this is it, and you know, maybe if I lose and I'm playing two 19-year-olds, then I'll get more sympathy, like, you know, or we'll win. You know, what have I got to lose? Sean, it's a good shout. Like, again, we're talking about the player that was voted the best player in the NPL New South Wales. And, Perth are on a good run of form, but they're still not a great team. They're still not a great team. I think there are a lot of players there that you put them a bit under a bit of pressure and you know, they'll roll over. Kucharski can do that. He's got the talent. He's got the bag of tricks. He's got the movement, you know, and we've talked about Alfie's positioning and movement as being not too bad this season. We just haven't been able to find him. But, you know, that's nothing that a Jaden probably can't do. Like, you're not a 300, 400 game veteran that is going to pop up in the right position every time, but neither's Alf at the moment, right? So whatever he's doing, he's not getting the ball. I would love to see that. I think Jules is right, though. I don't think we will. Mm. And I think it would look poor if you benched Lafondra, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that will...
would look poor.
Maybe it won't be a factor. I think it's just be more a case of Corica just kind of sticking to his guns and trusting the somewhat tried and proven lineup that he
got him so much success so far.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Alfie, start. You got 45 minutes to show me something. And then, you know, okay, I can understand not starting Alfie would be a bit of a big shout and maybe a bit of a kick to the confidence and just wouldn't look good. But okay, all right, you got 45 minutes, mate. Show me something, you know. Show me why I should continue. Mm-hmm. And then if not, make subs at halftime. Why wait to the 70th, 80th, 85th minute and then putting on someone to go, you know, make something happen. Make that big call at halftime.
Something. Yeah, yeah.
Prediction, boys. What do you think the score will be?
I have no reason to believe that we will play any better or worse than we did. So I haven't watched a lot of the Perth football, to be honest, but they've been getting some good results against, you know, they're the first team to beat Brisbane, I think, in 7 games.
Mm.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep, that's correct. Yep. Yep.
You know, I don't see us winning the game. I think we'll lose 1-0, 2-1. Give me someone tell me on Twitter or Instagram, someone tell me that we're gonna win. Like, how? Like, on what we've seen the last couple of weeks, boys, you just can't. Well, yeah, fair.
I'm gonna
say English draw. So.
Ain't nobody.
That's a good point. Lolly Bratton, that could be a good counter argument.
Yeah, I'm going to say one or Jules and yourself.
Not enough of a counter argument. 2-1 loss.
Nope.
I think Lolly will score our one goal.
It's pretty good. I like Joe. I like Joe.
Hello, Joe.
There it is. Time for an old favourite, Sean.
An old favorite, yeah. Fuck. All right, let me get this. think that's yours, Jules.
Welcome back, hero and villain of the week, Julian.
It is villain of the week. So it's been a long time. It's kind of a little bit of a delayed one, I would say. Mm. But because we didn't get the opportunity, obviously, to talk about it up until now, because we have abstained, and rightfully so. But I would say, just arcing back to a few weeks ago, the APL's decision to obviously choose to host every single grand final, both men and women's, in Sydney. I think it's a really poor decision. We've talked at length about it, but I will just say that fans should be at the heart of every football decision, because that's the lifeblood of this sport. We're very different. I think I mentioned about the tribalism. Can't manufacture that. And we've got it in bucket loads, not to be confused with hooliganism, which was really on display 3 weeks ago. So it's going to happen. It's happened. We have to somewhat live with it and move forward, but I'm sure that there's a solution perhaps to use this poor misjudgment from the APL and pivot into something maybe positive. And that's my only hope.
Well said.
Yeah, yeah.
Reptile wins.
So that's me. Look, I could easily say Corica. I could easily. And you'd all expect me to say that, but I won't. So my villain of the week is a little bit tongue-in-cheek. Before the game, Jonathan wasn't paying attention to me because he's too busy playing Pokemon Go and seeing what he was sun up to. Understandable. But before the game, on our sideline there opposite the tunnel, Jaden and Sekicic were, you know, they're kicking the ball back and forth to each other. Jaden comes to Jaden, tries to do it on the half volley and turn a bit of a scissors kick, absolutely sprays it, bounces once and smacks Redder's square on the head, like right in the face. Absolute foul. Redder's looking around, who the fuck did that? Where did that come from? Little to no apology from Jaden. So, you know.
Did he point at Sekicic or someone?
No. But, you know, Jaden, just be careful, mate. Redder's is a national treasure. He is our grey wig.
Exactly.
Just be careful. You know, just next time, just take a touch. That's what I tell my players. Just take a touch. Check your shoulder. Take a touch. That's it.
Love it.
Enough is enough. I'm happy with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. Everybody strap in. I'm about to open some fucking windows.
I feel like mine's so violent. Like it's a real rev up.
So good.
It's a real river. Villain of the week. All of the keyboard warriors, let's call them, that have come out and just absolutely, including A-League memes, have come out and just jumped on this, oh, Sydney FC conspiracy. Absolute crap. Jules, you're included in this. The only decision that I sort of went, yeah, he's duffed that up, was the one that we said we didn't actually see the camera angle of. And everyone that's seen it has says, yeah, it was a, you know, penalty 100%. I get the argument of we want referees to understand what's happening in the game and to make a judgment call and not just follow the letter of the law, but other sports have that exact problem. Rugby league, for example, the referees just follow the rules. That's their job. They're enforcing the rules of the game. So if the players don't put themselves in those positions, if Pennington doesn't raise his hands to Burgess's neck, guess what? He wouldn't have got a red card.
What's his face to just back?
If the players hadn't raised their arms away from their body and the ball had hit their arm, guess what? It wouldn't have been penalties. Right? Like, so everyone just chill the fuck down and get off this Sydney FC conspiracy. They tried everything to let Sydney FC get a point. Absolute fucking crap. And it's funny to a point, but like, it's just fucking pathetic now. So that's one of the weeks.
It's worse than people calling it A-Liga. Fucking so annoying.
Oh, it's worse than that. Nearly worse than that.
It's regard.
Oh, come on. It's the A-Liga.
It was funny. 5 minutes. Just call it the A League. All right. It was really hard this week, this past week, to find a hero.
You've had 6 weeks, Sean.
Oh, look, I'm looking in the last 7 days. That's my how I reflect in the review.
Like
I could say Princess. I could say the Sydney FC girls, but they let me down tonight, and they should be disappointed and not get a wink of sleep tonight.
Yeah,
probably flying back so they can work tomorrow.
Aren't they out?
Yeah, exactly.
That's sad but true. Like they got an 8:30 start.
Aren't they out and in?
Yes, and back out. Anyway, look, again, I feel a bit bad, but look, I do notice these little things, and a few others notice it at the game, and then on Twitter and the like. But game finish, it was a shit game, a shit loss. Stupid finish, ridiculous.
Hilarious finish.
But who's the first bloke of ours who walks over to the Cove, the crowd, the supporters, the fans, and acknowledges them? Max Burgess.
Maxie boy.
Yeah.
Usually Maxie, Joe Lolle.
Yeah, I do usually love Joe Lolle. I've got a huge soft spot for Maxie.
And a huge hard spot too.
But look, I know
no cap.
A lot of the fans and supporters and the like notice that. So it's the little things, and I appreciate it, Max. Just do you.
A little thing.
Yeah, I like it. Thank you.
Do you, boy.
Very good. Watch him as he
goes. My hero of the week is old Remy. For getting the nod to go over to what is suspected to be a great, great club. Hopefully WSL, I would love that. But yeah, it's good to see that she's getting another opportunity in Europe. Sad to see her go so quickly, but I know that she'll do fantastic over there. And
all women,
yeah, and really, yeah, exactly, and a great lead into the World Cup as well. So that'd be really good.
Transfer window's open now, gents. So,
speaking of past players, Claire Wheeler signed a 2-year, I think, permanent extension or whatever with Everton, the Toffs.
The Everton. And
that's great.
I know you
so
were
good.
All wondering about Lee McGing. I think you were talking to me at length about that.
Yes.
Last week. He's playing for Marconi this NPL season.
Oh, I thought he'd gone to the Indonesian League or something.
There you go.
Marconi. Where's Charles Lokalingo at the moment?
Malta. Is it Malta?
Malta.
I think he might be, yeah.
Killing it. Some calls were like, somebody on Twitter
still
like,
got time to...
Somebody was on Twitter's like, oh, Big Charles is doing really well in Malta. He's like killing it, goals and assists. Maybe we should bring him back. And it was like, no, fuck off. Even somebody
he's
on...
still got time to sign for three NPL clubs this year.
Facebook supporters group mentioned a beanie. Oh, he was really good. I'm like, are you high? Never. Yeah. Never. Anyway.
That's that main princess. I can be a hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain. I will... Bit of Enrique. Speaking of beanies, my hero of the week is young Princess. 100 appearances for our wonderful club, only behind Teresa Pelias at City FC. I dare say she'd be in the probably top 10 or 20 A-League women's overall appearances with 100. I think she's appeared in 6 grand finals for the club from the age of 15. Absolutely bleeds sky blue, and I doffed my tiara, my princess tiara, to Princess Abini Ise, 100 games in Sky Blue, as my hero of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Well done.
And I think that's it.
That's it. Done. All right.
I think that's it. I'll be staying up to watch that game on Saturday night, gents, 10:30.
I'll have dual screens on.
Lovely.
Manchester Derby. As well.
I might have to resubscribe to Paramount that I unsubscribed from in a fit of rage on the back of the APL's decision, but I'll think about that.
Like a FIFA rage quit, Jonathan. That's right. You just said fuck.
It was like a rage quit. Man, it's been a long time since I played FIFA. We should do that.
Angry,
fantasy
Sky Blues Stories FIFA tournament.
Fantasy check-in, Jules, before we go.
Fantasy check-in. We'll do a quick one just with the tables. Give me a second. I've got it up here already, ready to go.
What about the table?
So
everyone listening at home.
The league table has changed somewhat for the A-League men. We'll do that first. So we've got Wood and who wouldn't want Pat? Both as joint leaders on 30 points apiece.
Nice.
Amazing seams. Parsons, the parcel, in third and fourth on 24. And rounding out the top six is Eurosnob FC on 22 points and Sky Blue Views on 21. So
where are the bound back? Where's...
I'm set. Seventh. So on 21 points, but yeah, it is what it is. where are you, Jono?
Not there.
Last, I reckon, by now.
14th.
Out of
20.
That's not too bad.
That's
about a Leeds United.
Exactly. Keeping. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, don't worry, you won't get sacked. It's all
good. I just keep getting those results to keep me in a job.
Yeah, exactly. You're a legend. And then with yeah, exactly. Yeah, we keep legends of the pod in jobs, mate. That's how it happens. So Guy Blues Stories Fantasy for the dub is Simi FC Teresa on 24 alongside Sydney FC's number one super fan Michelle Morris on 24 points as well.
Teresa lost a game.
They
lost one.
Yes, they've lost one each, correct. Mm. Yeah, so yours truly 100% FC in third. Canberra for a Liga in fourth, and rounding out, I guess, the top five because it's a 10-team competition is McLean Sheets, great name, on 15 points.
Very good. You thought you had a gun W League team, Jules.
It's all right. I sort of looked at it. And there was a lot of DNPs did not play in there as well. Kirsty
Fenton letting you down.
Kirsty Fenton let me down big time. And there's a couple of others that I was like, oh, shit, better get rid of them.
How's Sean's attempt at fantasy going?
Sean's attempt is he's eighth. He's not a cellar dweller and just below
Corica. Another Corica position.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Making my run, mate. You don't win fantasy in February or January.
That's it. It's January. That's our comeback episode, gents. But to round it out, as Phil Jamieson said, it's hardly a comeback if you're never gone, boys. So we'll be back hopefully weekly from now on. Hopefully we've got some positive news from the A-League men's squad and the girls. The girls went down, as we said, this evening, just after we started recording. But we want some good results. It's going to be a tough few weeks. We've also got Australia Day away game coming up. We're yet to get a clear understanding for what that looks like from a Sydney FC fan perspective. I believe you can buy tickets. I just don't think they're going to be in our usual corner, from what I understand. Hopefully the club will release a bit of information about that next week. But for now, from Sean, Jules, and myself, have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you very soon.